So glad that you're here today. We are concluding today this series we've been in since the first of the year called Renew. We've been using this word as a theme word that God is doing something. God's renewing our vision. God's renewing our purpose. God is renewing our in-house worship when we come together worshiping in person. Last week we talked about how God is renewing our unity. And today we're going to talk about how we're praying to God, renew God's love in our life. Renew God's love. Have you ever been on a call and you called a local business like I have? Only to know they're open. And you know that store is full of employees. Only to get a machine to tell you nobody can take your call. And you're being forwarded to somebody else in a business center somewhere. And when somebody answers that call, you know you're talking to somebody in a different country who can barely speak English. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like trying to talk, and they're trying to read off a script. You're trying to tell them what's wrong, and they're just following their script. And they keep going back and repeating the same thing in broken English. I mean, I understand they need a job, and it's good that we can help with them get jobs, but when I need help, I need somebody I can communicate with. And it's frustrating. Or when you call, even more frustrating is when you call and they say, push this button to talk to somebody in these three different areas, and you push that area only to get three more categories, and you push that button only to get three more categories. Only to get a voicemail and go back if you missed it. You're pushing buttons, and pretty soon it's like, tell me what you need, and I'm screaming at the phone. Can I please talk to a real person? Preferably one who understands English. And I'm mad, and my wife quickly reminds me, honey, you're screaming at a machine. Settle down, and when you finally get to talk to somebody live, if you will be a little kinder, if you'll speak with a little more love in your tone, I promise you, you'll get better service. And besides that, you are the pastor. I'm like, okay, so they don't know that when I'm calling, frustrated, and then I like someone finally answers, and I'm like, can I just stop and say thank you for answering the phone? It really means a lot to me to talk to a live person. Oh, we've been so understaffed on this stuff. We don't have enough people. I understand. It's just so good to talk to a real person. This is the issue I have. And I show a little kindness, and they're like, well, let me forward you to our call center. I'm like, can I just, listen, last time that happened, we just couldn't communicate. Is there somebody maybe regionally here that I can talk to? Sir, you can talk to my supervisor. And then I get forward to the supervisor, and answers happen and things happen. It's amazing what can happen when you're just a little bit kinder. It's amazing when you put a little love in your tone. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm quick to get mad. Jesus said to us, this is the way. Jesus said, this is the way. He is speaking to his followers saying, listen, you've got to understand something. This is the way. The way of love, the way of unity, the way of my mercy and kindness. Jesus said, this is the way. Last week we looked, and the last few weeks we've been looking at the last prayer of Jesus. Right before he left the garden and was arrested, he prayed this prayer for the church. Can we say we put a lot of emphasis as a church on the Lord's Prayer, and we really don't put a lot of teaching on the last prayer. And if you think about it, it's the last prayer before his crucifixion. You would think what he was praying here was kind of like, this is a summary of what I'm hoping. This is a summary of what I'm really wanting my church to look like. This is what, when I leave here, this is what I want my followers to look like. And he says, as they become one, the world will believe. When we become one with each other, when we fellowship together and we love one another, they become one. He says, then the world will believe that I belong to you. So Jesus prayed this prayer. Let's pick it up now in verse 25 of John 17. Jesus said, oh, righteous Father, the world, they don't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your, say together, then your love, one more time, then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Today, I want you to understand something. We have the love of God in us. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have the love of God in us. And Jesus prayed that this love would remain. We have his love in us. Why? Why does God want to put his love in us? So that we can give his love away. That's why. He wants to blow you away with his kindness, his love, his mercy, and then he wants you to blow others away with the love of God inside of you. So how do we live this out? Because it can be a challenge. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. So how do we walk this out? I'm glad you asked. Number one, write this down. We're going to learn to walk in God's love by remain in God's love. We remain in God's love. As I talked about the last few weeks, I have two dogs. I talked about them a few weeks ago, and one is a diva. Her name is Molly, and Molly's a diva. And then I have another dog called Harlow, and she's just a goober. I have one diva, one goober. Molly, when you open the door to go outside, to let her go outside and potty, if it's even raining, she'll be like, "Ooh, I ain't going out there. I am not getting this perm wet. I'm not going out there." She turns around and comes right back in, and she will hold it all day long. And she won't go in the house. She'll hold it all day long, and she won't go out until it's dry. Harlow, she don't care if it's raining, if it's hailing, there could be a tornado in the front yard, it could be 6 inches of snow, it doesn't make a difference to her. She is leaping out the door as soon as I open it, head first, rolling around in whatever's out there. She could have just had a bath, but she doesn't care. She's rolling around, living her best life, and she goes out there and she just lets it fly. Not a care in the world. She's really a goober, I ain't gonna lie to you. And what will happen is this, that sometimes my goober dog, Molly won't go to the bathroom in the house. She'll hold it all day long if we're gone. And she'll wait, never has an accident, perfect dog. Now Harlow, my goober dog, if you don't let her out in a timely manner, she will find a place to relieve herself in the house. And what usually happens is I'm the first one to find it. So I come and I find this pile of mess right here. It stinks. Somebody's got to clean it up. And who do you have to think cleans it up? I, most of the time, I'm cleaning it up. So I go and I get the tissue and I wipe it up, flush it down, and clean up, sanitize it. And you know what I do to my goober dog? I pick her up, put her in my lap, and go, "You're such a good girl. I can't believe." I blame my kids. I can't believe they didn't open the door and let you go out. I can't believe those rotten kids couldn't let you out the door to go potty, let you go outside and do your business. I'm so sorry you had to hold it. And she just licks me in the face, and she loves me, you know, and she rolls around her neck on my chest. She's a big goober, and I blame the kids. True. I used to use my kids in illustrations. Now I use my dogs. That's how my life is going. But you know, can I tell you that my goober dog, she makes some messes sometimes, and I've learned this, that I really have a love for my dogs. As I'm growing older, I love my dogs. Can I say that I'm thinking about writing my kids out of the will and putting my dogs into my will, because I really love my dogs, okay? Really love these dogs. And even the goober who makes some big piles of mess, I love her. And she gets in my lap, and I just love on her. Can I tell you this and ask you this question? If we can love our dogs this much, even when they make messes in our house, how much more can God love us even when we make messes of our own life, even when we're a big goober in ourselves, and even when we do things that stink in our life, when we make great mistakes, how much more can God really love us? If I can have a love for a dog like that, how much more can God really love you and I? We cannot comprehend how great His love is for us. We have got to understand how great is His grace and how great is His love in our life. You can't give away true love if you've never experienced true love. If you don't know what true love is, you can't give away true love. So I want you to experience this true love in the very core of your heart and who you are. Before you leave today, I hope you experience how great God really loves you. Look what John 15, 9 through 11 says it like this. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Here's this word again. Remain, right? Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. God wants us to remain, let's say that word, remain in his love. What he didn't say was, I want you to earn my love. See, we try to earn God's love, but that's not what he asked us to do. He asked us to remain in his love. If I can love my dogs, he can love me, right? But the thing that throws me off is this, and maybe it does Jesus well. When we look at this verse, it has love, obedience, obey, and joy. All three connected. Love, obey, and joy. I can get into the love, and I can get into the joy. But what triggers me is this trigger word, obey. Can I be really honest with you? Sometimes I struggle with the word obey. Sometimes I struggle with this thing called obedience. It's not a natural thing I want to do. I don't always want to obey. Can I be honest with you? I seldom want to obey. It's a trigger word for me. And I know it triggers many people in this room, the word obey. It's not natural. Because what happens is when I see the word obey, now all of a sudden I'm trying to obey to earn God's love. Obey so I am good enough for God to love. Obey so I'm good enough for God to show his mercy to. Obey, and we have all these different reasons we try to obey, and they're not good reasons. God doesn't want us to get caught up in the semantics of the obey. He wants us to walk in his love. So what does it mean to love and obey God's commands? I think this really wraps it up right here. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7, one of the most famous love scriptures in all the world. You'll find it in plaques in people's homes. You'll find people posting it on social media. You'll find it on a t-shirt. Find it in cards. Let's read it together. Love is what? Patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. I read this and I go, that is hard. How am I supposed to live up to that? Because if I'm being honest, love may not be irritable, but I am. Love may be patient, but I struggle with patience. Love may not be prideful or boastful, but I can sometimes struggle with pride. Love may not lose faith or hope, but sometimes I struggle with keeping faith where it needs to be. Sometimes I can lose hope. That's the way I am naturally. Sometimes I'm not great. And so when I read this, it makes me feel like, wong, wong, wong. Underwhelming. Like, how am I supposed to live up to this standard of love? I'm not. And neither are you. I'm supposed to remain in this standard of love. Keeping that in thought, I read this one time and it changed the way I read the scripture. And I want us just to do an exercise. If God is love, as the Bible declares, God is love, let's put God's name where love was. Let's read it again, adding this word God. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand its own way. God is not irritable and keeps no record of being wrong. God does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. God never gives up. I inserted me. God never gives up on me. God never loses faith in me. God is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. You see, when I understand this is God's standard for love, my job is not to try to be God's standard. My job is to remain and let that standard be inside of me. I stay connected to God's love, and the longer I stay connected, the more this kind of love begins to come out of me. It doesn't happen overnight. It won't happen in 1-2 years. But I can tell you, over decades of finally surrendering my life fully to Jesus and staying and remaining in his love, this is starting to come out in me. I'm beginning to learn how to love this way. My job is to remain in the love of God. And if I will remain in the love of God, this kind of love will come out of me eventually. This is our responsibility. This is what God wants us to do, to remain in his love. Have you accepted the idea? Let me ask you a question. Have you accepted this idea that God really, really, really likes you? He really does. God really likes you. Pastor, I don't think he likes me. He may like you, but he don't really like me. Can I tell you, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave the most precious gift he could ever give. He gave his son to die for my sins. Do you think God is sending his only son to go through the torture and the pain of the cross for people he doesn't really like? He did that because he really likes you. He really loves you and me. He did this for my redemption. He gave his only son. He paid the price that now for all who put their faith in the finished work of the cross, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried and resurrected on the third day, now sitting at the right hand of the Father. All who put their faith in Jesus now can be redeemed, and they can walk in fellowship with God. God really likes you. He went through a lot to open up the door, the pathway for you and I to walk in fellowship with him. He doesn't just really like you. Can I tell you this? He loves you. He loves you so much. John 15:15, Jesus' words, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Jesus said, now we are his friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You are a friend of God. May I say this to you today? Following Jesus is really about a relationship. If you're chasing after a religious experience, you will never find it. Religion will never fill the void in your life. Success will never fill the void in your life. I don't care how much money you make, it'll never fill the void. I don't care how nice of a car or house you have, it'll never fill the void. I don't care if you're looking for that girl, you're looking for that guy, and you've been searching for love, looking for fulfillment, you will never have complete fulfillment until you surrender your life to Jesus. That's where it's at. I can tell you, I look for love in all the wrong places. Come on now. Turn to your neighbor and say, looking for love. Come on. Are we looking for it in all the wrong places? And we'll never find it until we experience the true love of God. And number two, we pass it on. That's how we remain in God's. We remain in God's love, and then we pass on God's love. Have you ever thought that when you had kids and they were little, did you ever think that if I can just get these kids out of these stinking diapers, life is going to be so much easier? Have you ever had that thought? Some of you are like, Pastor, that's my life. I'm praying that prayer. But let me encourage you today. That was a lie. Life does not get any easier. Kids don't get any easier. You just trade one set of problems for a different set of problems, okay? And there. I read this story the other day. I thought it was funny about this mom and dad who were going to take, they bought some tickets to take their kids to an event, their teenage kids. And when they got time to leave, the teenage kids rebuked their parents. They said, I'm refusing to go. Look at this photo. They said, last night, our eldest teenager refused to go to an event we bought tickets for and was exceptionally rude. So we left them at home and took the router instead. The router had a great time. Parents, you want to get your kids' attention? Take the Wi-Fi away. Just say it. It works. My kids, even my grown kids now, they can be all across the house, all in different rooms, never speak to me, but let the internet go out, and all of a sudden, like vultures, shoof, hey, who turned off the internet? Hey, Dad, are you going to fix it? Dad, who are you going to call? Dad. I'm like, look who's important again. Me. And Hallie goes, okay, bud. All right, anyway, it's, wouldn't it be nice if we could just command our kids to love us? We could unplug the router and they'll come and give you some love, right? But God commands us to love him, but it's a choice. We see in Scripture it's a choice. He gave us a choice, a free will, to choose him. Why? Because if I make my kids love me, is it really love? No. They're just loving me to get the Wi-Fi back, right? You're just loving me to get some gas in the car. What is true love? True love is a choice when they truly decide to love. And I think this is what he was talking about here in John 15:16. Jesus said this, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And this is my command. Love each other. You have to make a choice to love me, but he goes, I'm commanding you, learn to love each other. I'm telling you, you need to learn to love each other. Why? Because he has freely given us his love. He goes, I want you now to freely give it away to those who don't deserve it. You didn't deserve my love, and I gave it to you. Now you love those who don't deserve it as well. Church, we are called to lead out with God's love. Church, this is Christianity 101. If we miss this, we've missed it all. If we don't get this right, we miss it all. We are called to lead this community with God's love. That is how we make a community-wide difference. That's how we make a commitment last and something have an impact in this community. I was raised with a flow chart. I want to show you this flow chart. This is the way I was raised. When I was growing up, this is how it kind of was. See if you can relate to this flow chart. If you wanted to belong in a church, you had to, first of all, you had to learn to behave. You had to get your life straightened out first before you came to church. So you couldn't drink, smoke, or chew, or date girls who do. You had to dress up a certain way. You had to live a certain way. You had to talk a certain way. You wasn't welcome into church until you cleaned up yourself first. And then, once that happens, then you got to believe. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and God is the Father. You got to come in believing right away. Before you can belong to a church, you got to behave right. You got to act right. And then you got to believe right. And then you can belong to churches. Then you can belong to a certain church. Can I say that as we really study Jesus' model, we've had it wrong. Over the years, church, we haven't done this right. This is not the model that Jesus painted for us and laid it out very clearly in the scripture. What the model needs to look like is this. We need to make sure people understand that people belong here. You're welcome to come here. If you look like me, you can come here. If you don't look like me, you can come here. You can belong here. If you vote like me, you can belong here. If you don't vote like me, you can belong here. If you talk like me, you can belong here. If you don't talk like me, you can belong here. You can belong here if you believe in God. And if you don't believe in God and you're just trying to figure it out, you still can belong here. It's our job to show God's love and to get as many people to walk into the doors as possible and let them know you belong here. Because if we can get them to belong here, eventually they'll hear the truth of God's love and word. They'll experience God's presence in our worship. Their hearts will say, you know what? I think there's a different way. You know what? I don't like the way my life's going. I believe that God's got a bigger plan for my life. And all of a sudden, because we let them belong, because we opened up the door and we didn't make them change before they walked in, now they're saying, I believe there's something different for my life. I believe my family can have a different outcome than what I grew up with. I believe we can start a new heritage. I believe that things can change in my life. And then all of a sudden, they become a part of the church. Now they're digging in. Now they're serving. Now they're giving. Now they're worshiping. Now they're attending. Now they're bringing other people to come in and belong. This is the pattern we see. God wants us to love others. God wants us to show his love to others. Don't forget where you started. See, that's the problem. Too many of us, we forget. Come here. Can I just remind you how bad you were before God changed your life? Some of you need to remember how bad you were before God changed your life. Some of you remember how big of a womanizer you were before God changed your life. Some of you need to remember how bad your mouth was before you gave God your life. Come on now. Some of you need to remember how bad your attitude was. Some of you need to remember how bad your theology was before you gave God your life. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget it. For many years, I took two steps forward and three steps backwards. I'd go a couple steps forward, and I'd just go by back. And for years and years, I was like a yo-yo, going forward, going back. Then eventually, it began to stick, and I began to get a little bit further, and a little bit further, and a little bit further. It's a progress, and can I tell you, I'm still a work in progress. You are still a work in progress. Don't forget that. Our job is to cheer people on and love them on their journey. Encourage them, teach them, challenge them, love them as they learn to become all that God wants them to be. This is our job, church, is to love. He said, how do we do that? We remain in his love. The more I remain in God's perfect love, the more that love spills out of me. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me give it to you in plain English, because I know you're like me. You just want someone to tell you like it is. what's going to happen? We're going to pass on God's love, church. We're going to pass on God's love. We're going to give it to those who have blown it. We're going to give God's love. To those who have messed up, we're going to give God's love. To those that are broken, we're going to give God's love. To those who are depressed, we're going to give God's love. To those that are happy, we're going to give God's love. To those who look different than I do, we're going to give God's love. To those who believe different than I do, we're going to give God's love. We're going to be a church that loves God and loves people. That's where we're at. And we're going to continue to know God and to make Him known, to love God and to love people. These are the greatest commands that Jesus taught us. Two different occasions, He told us, these are the greatest commands. You love God and you love people. And right before He died, He said, Father, may they love each other. May they love one another. May they be unified. May they know You and make You known. As we get ready to close this morning, Jesus said, no greater love than this, that He laid down His life for a friend. When we were still sinners, Christ gave His life for us. The unconditional love of God is still the most powerful force in the world today. It's the unconditional love of God that will move mountains in our life, that will bring true healing and fulfillment. The unconditional love of God will take an atheist and make him believe. The unconditional love of God will take somebody who's in transition and doesn't know who they are and make them snap out of it and say, I was born a child of God. The unconditional love of God will take people who've blown it big in their life and they come to God and God puts their life back together. I don't change my beliefs when I love someone who doesn't believe. See, we get it all messed up. I don't want to hang out with those people because they don't believe the way I believe. Listen, you're not changing the way you believe. You're just allowing God's love to come out, and hopefully you'll begin to influence the way they believe, the way they see Jesus. But when I show love and compassion to someone who doesn't believe, like me, I'm letting God's love move in their life. His love can radically change people's lives. I shared the story about Harlow, my goober dog. I've gone through the same thing with my own children. You ever had one of your kids wake up in the middle of the night, sick, make a mess all over the bed, all over the floor? My wife gets up to try to clean it, and she's getting sick. Now she's throwing up because she's got a weak stomach. Guess who got out of bed? It was Dad. I get down there, and all their mess, it stinks. I clean it up. I take their sheets and their blankets, and I put it in the washing machine. Take the vacuum, and, you know, and I put all the as cleaner I can on the carpet, and I get it as clean as I can. I put them in the shower, and I give them a shower, and get them redressed for bed, remake their bed, put them in, and I tuck them in. Why? Because it's my child. I love them. They couldn't help it. They made a mess. It's part of life. Can I tell you today, when we make messes in our life, God is waiting to clean us up with His love. You can't clean yourself up. It's not possible. The only way you can clean yourself up is to simply accept God's love into your life. And He's not waiting there to say, why did you make a mess of your life? No, He's waiting there to say, come here. I know you've blown it, but my love is bigger than that in your life. He's waiting to clean me up, to put His love around me, put me back into a safe arm to say, you're right where you need to be. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for Your incredible love in our life. Teach us what it means to remain in this amazing love. Teach us what it means to pass on this love. this morning, with everybody just keeping your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you hear and say, Pastor, my life's been a mess, and I realize that I need Jesus in my life, and I don't understand it all, but I know this, that if Jesus can do what you're saying this morning, I will surrender my life to Jesus, and I will give my life to Jesus today. How do we do that? The Bible says we put our faith in the finished work of the cross. That's all it is. I put my faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible says, well, I believe he is Son of God, who was crucified for my sins and resurrected on the third day, that I now walk in fellowship with him, that he no longer calls me a slave, but now he calls me a friend of God. I'm called a child of God. His amazing grace, his amazing love comes in and transforms my life in a way I could never deserve on my own. His amazing love begins to transform my life, but you've got to make that choice for yourself. And without anybody looking right now, no one's looking but me, we won't do anything to single you out. We're not going to embarrass you one point, I promise you. But if you're here to say, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus, can you just lift a hand for me to see? Let me know you're ready to do that today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. I see those hands going up. Anybody else today? Say, I'm ready. Come on. Don't miss this moment. God's called you. I see you, lady. God's called you today. And say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Raise it real quickly. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. I want to see it. Thank you. Okay. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. As Christians around you, we're going to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah.